Also, the flip side of that means you can't stop it. There's nothing you can do to keep it going, you can't stop it either. In other words, if there's nothing you and I can do or fail to do to maintain our current standing for God, other than keep believing, then it's also true there's nothing we can do or fail to do to endanger our current standing before God, other than stop believing. Okay? The bottom line is, as long as you keep believing, you will be eternally secure. You remain justified regardless of what you do, including sinning. And if you think anything you do, including sinning, can affect your justification, can affect your good standing before God, that means you're trusting in something other than faith to be justified. I don't know if anybody can see how wrong this is. I don't know if you care or not. Basically, that's preaching eternal security. And I'm sure that guy would swear up and down he doesn't believe or teach eternal security, but either he's lying or he's just too ignorant to understand the ramifications of what he's teaching. When you tell people, when you say, hey, if you think anything you do or fail to do can affect your right standing with God, then you're basing your justification on works and not on faith. Brother, you are preaching eternal security. There ain't no two ways about it. Now, as I said the other week, today's ministers, they try to make justification the whole ball of wax, everything. They may talk about things that have to do with sanctification. They even mention the word sanctification, okay? They may say you have to be sanctified. But it's all religious confusion because they think justification has already been sanctified to you. Your justification has already sanctified you and made you worthy of the kingdom of God. So the fact is they have justification and sanctification confused. Justification is a legal state that God provides for us while we're being sanctified. Justification is not the goal. Sanctification is the goal. Justification is not sanctification and never will be. There are two different spiritual operations in the life of the believer. Justification is imputed righteousness. Sanctification is actual righteousness. And there's a vast difference between those two kinds of righteousnesses. Okay? Imputed righteousness is something that is ascribed to our accounts legally and does not in and of itself make us righteous in our actions, in our deeds, in the way we live. God can ascribe, he can impute the righteousness of Jesus to any person at any time in a second. But actual righteousness, which is sanctification, which is spiritual fruit, that must be worked into an individual's life. It takes time. It can't be applied instantly to a person's life. It can't be transferred. God can't transfer his righteousness to you and make you act righteously. He can cover you with his righteousness, but he can't make you righteous just like that. Actual righteousness must be worked in this. It's a process. Now, the scripture talks about imputed righteousness in many places, particularly the book of Romans and Galatians in the New Testament. But the emphasis of the Bible as a whole, is on actual righteous behavior and godly living. It's not on justification. But the result of this evangelical gospel is these preachers have reversed the thing. And the emphasis in our day is on justification. Godly lifestyles, like I said, are encouraged, but do not present as being absolutely necessary to be saved. The attitude is, we should live righteously, but if we cannot or will not, it's no big deal because we're saved. That is, we're justified by what we believe, not by what we do, okay? But when you realize that God's goal, what his goal is, his goal is to have his righteous nature manifested through how we live, by what we do, then the absurdity of making imputed righteousness, which is an invisible legal state, the focus of salvation should become obvious. God's purpose has always been to bring his own righteousness, his own righteous character, his own righteous nature, his holy nature, forth in the earth through the lives of his people. He isn't looking for imputed righteousness. He's looking for actual, tangible, visible righteousness in our lives, okay? Imputed righteousness is given to us to cover us and keep us, in faith and grace while he makes us actually righteous. Okay? This is what Isaiah 62 says this. I'm going to read just about a couple of scriptures to you, not much. Isaiah 62, 1 through 2 says this. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness. Okay, that's not imputed righteousness, that's actual righteousness, okay? Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth. And the Gentile nations shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by the new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Isaiah 61, this is a New King James Version. Isaiah 61, verse 11 says this. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. That's something you can see. That's actual righteousness. That's not imputed righteousness. That's not a legal position. Okay? That's not people walking around saying, I'm covered by the blood, but I'm still smoking, drinking, having sex, and everything else. That's actual holy living. He will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. All nations are going to see God's nature, see God's character lived out in everyday life through his people. Okay? Why is God looking for actual righteousness? Why isn't he satisfied with imputed righteousness? Because it brings him glory. Actual righteousness brings him glory. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, let your light, that's conduct, right? Your light is conduct. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Just as a side note, notice that Jesus says your light and your good works, not the good works and the light of Christ in you, or the light of the good works of the Holy Spirit. That your light, your good works, okay? If you shine your light good enough, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. They'll know it's not you. They'll know it's not just you. You'll know that you have to have something else inside you besides you, because you're different than them, all right? And so if your light shines bright enough and you got the good works enough, they'll glorify God. You want to keep telling them to glorify God like a Calvinist. Say, oh, it's not me. It's not me. They will glorify God. All right? They'll glorify God by watching what you do. Well, like I said, imputed righteousness is invisible. Nobody can see it. Nobody will ever see it. Never. Only actual righteousness can be seen. And Isaiah said the Lord's making, quote, trees of righteousness, that he might be glorified, right? Isaiah 61:3. And Paul told the Philippian believers that he prayed they would be, quote, filled with the fruits of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1:9-11, okay? Unlike imputed righteousness, actual righteousness must be worked in our lives. It's a process. It involves chastening and discipline and sometimes very severe discipline. So the thing that's nearest and dearest to God's heart, which is that his people possess and manifest his nature in the earth, that can only be accomplished by judgment. It can only be accomplished by the chastening and correction of the Spirit of God. It's not produced by simply believing it's going to happen. You have to do more than believe it's going to happen. You've got to be in the program and let God beat you down and beat you to dust, all right, to bring his life forth. Now, the Scripture says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in Romans 14, and that righteousness is actual righteousness. I'm not talking about imputed righteousness, all right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It says we have to seek first that kingdom and that righteousness. Matthew 6. And it says we have to enter the kingdom and the righteousness through much tribulation. Much tribulation, okay? That means actual righteousness is not an invisible legal state. It's a possession. It's a possession that we must acquire. And it's acquired through tribulation. It takes tribulation and chastening to convert us or change us from self-centered creatures into God-centered creatures, all right? God's looking for actual righteous behavior, and that behavior can never be imputed, imputed righteousness, okay? As we worked in you. So God's trying to bring forth righteousness in the earth, okay? That's his goal. And since the church is the light of the world, the only light of the world, and it's the only real threat to Satan's kingdom, on top of that, Satan has focused his attack on trying to keep us from coming forth in actual righteousness, all right? If he can get us comfortable living in an unrighteous state, he has succeeded in putting out our light. See, because your light is not your imputed righteousness. Your light is not your belief. Your light is not your talk. Your light is not all your religious talk. Listen to Christian music. Listen to playing your music loud, you know? Your light is what you do. And if you live in unrighteousness, you have no light. Righteousness is the light. Actual righteousness is the light that God wants to shine before the world. All right? And if he can keep us living in unrighteousness, the devil, he has put out our light. And we can run around talking about God all day long. We can talk about doctrine all day long. If we don't have the light, if we don't have the righteousness, the actual righteous living, we have no light. All right? So if he can get us comfortable living in an unrighteous state, he has succeeded in putting out our light, all right? And that's the purpose of this free grace message and this by faith alone, through grace alone error. These messages do not demand actual righteousness. They don't. They encourage it. They'll say, oh, yeah, you should have it. You need to, if you're a Christian, you need to act like a Christian. But they can't demand it because of their doctrine, and they don't demand it. All right? And even that's becoming increasingly rare. Even encouraging people to live righteously is becoming rare these days as the church, the world floods the churches, you know, and the Rick Warren thing. I mean, it's, you don't hear anybody telling you to be holy anymore. But I'm sure there's still fundamentalist churches out there that are preaching you must, you know, come forth in some kind of holiness, or they're encouraging you to come forth in some kind of holiness, all right? But they can't require it. And if they do, they're going against their own doctrine. They're going against their own theology. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you, Satan's not stupid. Satan knows the nature of man very well. And he knows that with a few exceptions, people are going to always take the path of least resistance. They're always going to take the path of least resistance because they're lazy. All right? Human nature is lazy. And he knows that if you offer people a choice between a gospel that demands actual righteousness and the gospel that only encourages actual righteousness, the vast majority of them will pick the latter. And they'll never come forth in actual righteousness because they don't have to. Right? They don't have to. He also knows if you keep telling people every week that they're evil and they're wicked and they can never be righteous themselves because only God is righteous, that too will keep them from coming forth in righteousness. All right? Now, I want to give you a little scripture that Paul said and give you another angle, which you probably haven't considered before, on what something Paul, a very familiar scripture to you all. It's in Philippians chapter 3. It's verses 6 through 14. This is what Paul says. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Right? Now, I talked about this last week a little bit, but I want to give just one more quick illustration of how this skewed view of righteousness, which comes from Calvin's doctrine, can affect us. Right? I promise you that most of the people who read that passage misunderstand what Paul's saying because of what they've been taught about righteousness. Okay, he said he was blameless when it came to obeying the law, right? Just touching the law, blameless. That means he had a righteousness of his own. He had a righteousness of his own. He earned that righteousness by his fanatical obedience to God's law. Now, that wasn't God's righteousness, that was human righteousness, all right? But he had a righteousness of his own that he earned by obeying God's law. That was his righteousness, all right? But he said, I don't want to be found with my own righteousness, all right, which is according to the law. He said he wanted to be found with the righteousness of Jesus, which comes through faith in Jesus, all right? Now, your typical evangelical Calvinistic minister is going to tell you that Paul realized he could never have his own righteousness, so he just knew he had to rely on the righteousness of Jesus. And that's only half the truth. Yes, Paul would have to rely on Jesus to do what? To make him righteous. All right? Not to make Christ in him righteous, but to make him righteous. But this is not the way most people interpret Paul's words. Instead, they impose Calvin's lies on what Paul said. Okay, what Paul said was he didn't want to be found with his own righteousness, which is of the law, which comes from the law. What he didn't say was, he didn't say he didn't want to be found with his own righteousness, which comes from Christ. Okay? The issue for Paul wasn't where, the issue for Paul was where the righteousness was coming from. Where it was coming from, not who owns it. Okay? Now, leaves the church world here, they don't believe the righteousness of Christ will ever be your righteousness. Because according to their doctrine, Jesus will never give you his righteousness. He will never actually make you righteous. He will only share his righteousness with Christ in you. And as long as you stay out of the way, as die daily, I guess, you know they say, then his righteousness will be manifested through Christ in you. But you yourself will never actually be made righteous. If you were, you would have your own righteousness, all right? And like I said last week, you remain a wicked vessel in the eyes of most of today's ministers. You remain a wicked vessel, even though Paul said you're supposed to be raised with Christ, a new creature. So in their minds, Paul wasn't just saying he didn't want to be found with his own righteousness, which came from the law. He was saying he didn't want to have his own righteousness at all, period. The term his own is automatically demonized because it's a reference to you, the person. You understand? And you remain wicked. There is no new you in their minds. There is only the old you. You're not really a new creature in their minds. The new creature is Christ in you. You're still the old creature. That's why I tell you every week, you're wicked. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. You know, who can know it? And God will never share his righteousness with the old creation. He'll only share with the new creation, and that's Christ in you. See, it's very hard for us to really understand what Calvin's doctrine has done to the truth of becoming a new creature in the Bible. It's really hard for us to understand. We have been brainwashed people, for over 500 years. For over 500 years, we have been programmed to recoil, to actually recoil at the very thought of having our own righteousness. See, because the term, my own righteousness, has always been defined as something evil. All right? Always. We've been told not only is having our own righteousness bad, 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 even the desire to have our own righteousness is bad, bad, bad. And that whole idea may sound spiritual, but I'm telling you, it turns ugly when you get down to the nitty-gritty of just who it is being redeemed and just who it is being changed. All right? Well, this is what the Bible says. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good for them who love God, to them who are called according to his purposes, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. All right? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right? Now, I have a question for those who think I might be pushing the theological envelope here. Paul said God's elect in Romans, that's those who he foreknow, were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, right? Well, exactly who is it that's to be conformed to the image of Jesus? Do you think Christ in you has to be conformed to the image of Jesus? Well, if so, you don't understand that Christ in you is God. Well, then, is your old man, your flesh nature, is that what's going to be conformed to the image of Jesus? Well, that's not possible. That's not impossible, all right? Well, exactly who is it that's going to be conformed to the image of Jesus? Who's being changed into that same image from glory to glory? If it's not Christ in you, and it's not your flesh, your old man, it has to be you. The you, all right? The you who's been made a new creature. And you think that new creature who bears the image of Jesus is still wicked. Will the image of Jesus be wicked? That's preposterous, as far as I'm concerned. The new creature is righteous. Moreover, that righteousness is its own righteousness. It comes from Christ. It is Jesus' righteousness given to it. It's its own, but it comes from Jesus, all right? It doesn't come from the law. It doesn't come from the flesh. It doesn't come from religion. It comes from Jesus, but it is its own righteousness. Because, you know why? Paul said the new creation man is created in righteousness. We read that last week. Remember that? Ephesians 2:24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not created. That's the new creature. That's the new man, the new creature in you. That's the new you who's being joined to the Holy Spirit in you. That thing is created in righteousness. There is nothing wicked in the new man. Nothing. That new man has its own righteousness because it was created righteous. All right? It wasn't created Adam. It wasn't created a demon. It was created righteous. Created a new creation. So the ministers who preach this gospel and when it comes to this righteousness thing, they say we should not want to have our own righteousness. We should settle for the imputed righteousness of Jesus. All right? They're doing Satan's bidding for him because they're actively working against the kingdom of God. They're helping the enemy keep believers in a perpetual state of unrighteousness. In a perpetual state of unrighteousness. And there's no light. And you're not doing any damage to Satan's kingdom. Now, I know we can't go out and tear down Satan's kingdom. That's not God's plan. But you can still, in your own life, and in your own family, and your own little fellowship, you know, drive the darkness out of that. You know, you can't drive the darkness out of society. God's given it to the devil. But we can drive this darkness out of our own selves, you know, of our own family, our own immediate fellowship, all kinds of stuff. All right? And if you don't have any light, you can't do that. Light is righteousness. You must have righteousness. Okay? You can't just be covered with righteousness. You must have righteousness. Right? It's a very sad situation because these people are convinced they're protecting the glory of God. They're convinced they're exposing and thwarting the flesh's attempt to steal God's glory. Okay? They're convinced they're preaching the gospel Jesus and Paul preached. And they're relying on all these old, these, you know, great Hughes of Faith, Spurgeon, and all these Luther, all them guys to validate their doctrine, you know. They're convinced they're, quote, resting in Christ and his saving work for them. And they have a, quote, simple trust in Christ that gives them the right standing. They're convinced that what they're doing is true, and it's not. They're in error. They don't know what the program is. And they're under the influence of another gospel. And they're going to be shocked, I mean, when they find out they're deceived, okay? I mean, I know they all think I'm preaching deception, and I'm preaching error. And people like me, I'm not the only one, but they're going to be shocked when they find out we're not the ones that's wrong. They're the ones that's wrong. And they have all these people they're trusting in. They're trusting in man. They're trusting in Luther. They're trusting in Calvin. They're trusting in Spurgeon. All right? They're trusting in man to validate their doctrines, not to God's word. Okay? Anybody has anything like to share? Go ahead, take a step up, put your hand up or whatever. And you can share or ask a question or whatever you want to do. Did everybody understand what I was saying tonight? Was that was it clear enough? Okay. Just so you understood it. You know, what I was saying. If you don't, you know, if you don't bear witness to it right away, pray about it, whatever, don't matter. I just want to make sure I was clear what I said was clear. That's all. Let's see. I don't know what else to do. You guys want to do anything else? Anybody have anything like to say or share or do before we close the room? Yeah, I didn't sing High Dog. I didn't really have a lot of songs picked out this week. I didn't have a chance to do it. There's one if you want to. I got one here if you want to listen to it. I'll try one if I have it written down. Let me see if I have it written down on my thing. Hang on a second. Okay. Well, let me try this one. I'll do one. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your head to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your head to the sky. It's beginning to rain, hear the voice of the Father, saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky, it's beginning to rain, the waters are troubled. My friend, step right in. God's mighty power moving in this hour. No longer stand there on dry land. The waters are troubled, my friend. Step right in. The waters are troubled, my friend. Step right in. God's mighty power moving in this hour. No longer stand on the dry land. The waters are troubled, my friend. Step right in. The waters are troubled, my friend. Step right in. God's mighty power moving in this hour. Stand there on dry land, the waters are troubled, my friend. Step right in. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever.
river will come and drink of this water. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your head to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hand to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Something like that. I tried to sing this one Irma requested last week, Irma. Looks like you're having a hard time here tonight, Irma. So I'll sing a song you requested last week. Irma requested I sing, what was that? When I Look at Your Holiness, I think it was, right? And I'd already sung Picks Them Out. So I'll try and sing it now, just for her. Y'all know this, so I don't put the words up there, right?
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you. When I've found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, then I worship you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. God willing, the river don't rise, all right?